Okay, I'm going to be going back and forth from Matthew chapter 15 to Mark chapter 7. It's the same story, just they parallel each other. Mark puts a little bit more into it, but I'm going to be mainly in Matthew. So I'll read this all the way through, and then we'll get started. Verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that area and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came, urging him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." Verse 24. But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then he came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered her and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Okay. It's short. I'm not going to tell you that I got finished before 10 o'clock in the other one. Y'all might expect that. But there's a lot wrapped up into this. We've got Jesus. We've got the woman from Canaan. We've got the disciples. Very, very good people. And but we got the situation that's brewing here. So let's get into it. It says, then Jesus went out from there, departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Okay, if we just jumped in and said, okay, where was he? And where did he leave from? And what was he doing? Well, on same chapter, verses 1 through 20, he is discussing, or rather debating, the religious leaders and the scribes from Jerusalem. And they are talking about and discussing the law and the tradition. And long story short, Jesus just put it to them that they were putting the tradition above the law. It mainly dealt with ceremonial hand washing, which is very drawn out. And so he just basically, he said, "Well, I'm going to leave out. I might need some R&R. So he went out, withdrawed to this region. And the region had these two towns, Tyre and Sidon. And these are in the province of Syria at that time, and they're under Roman authority. So he was going into a Gentile country. Practically all of his ministry was done in Israel, and mostly in the upper part of Israel. And now he's going to leave Israel, and he's going to go to a Gentile country. And these two towns, this Tyre and Sidon, they were not too happy with the Jewish people. And we'll find out a little bit later. But he was going into this area. But in verse 22, it says, behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region. Okay, he's going into the region. She's coming out of the region. It's a Gentile country that they're going to meet in. We also, in Mark chapter 7, it says that Mark describes her as a Greek, a Syrophoenician. So we've got a Canaanite woman, or of heritage, born as a Syrophoenician, and she's Greek, and she's a Gentile. All that to say that she's not Jewish. She's not Jewish, but she comes up and she says this, and cried out to him, this is Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Okay, first, this woman has a well-rounded, you'll find out through the rest of the passage, she has a really rounded knowledge of who Jesus is and the Jewish, let's say, covenant privileges. And what she's done is she's approached him knowing that she's not Jewish, but this Lord, Son of David, is a messianic greeting for the Messiah. But the Messiah is standing in front of them, and they reject him. No, you're not him. It's got to be somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger with big bulging muscles. But they reject him. And it goes on to say, it says, demon-possessed. Severely demon-possessed. Now, in our Western culture over here, there is demon possession. You'll find a lot of it because they're more open-minded in third world countries. And I believe that there is demons, and they can come into a person. But, I love that but in Scripture, don't you? But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, He's your Lord and Savior. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you are saved. And if you're saved, they can't come into you. They can oppress you. You can be in the Bible all day long and doing missionary work and everything else, but we've seen missionaries that are oppressed by the darkness. So I believe in demons. I believe in the good angels. I believe in Satan. And I believe in Jesus Christ and God Almighty. And here it says she's demon possessed. And then in verse 23, but he, Jesus, answered her not a word. In other words, he ignored her. Is this our Jesus that we study and love? Does this sound like him? He's a people person. He's people-centered. He's got a rhyme and a reason. Stay with me. Then the disciples, I love these guys. The disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. In other words, they are saying, Lord, just do what she wants and send her away. She is nagging on us. She is aggravating. She's here in the morning. She's here at noon. She's here in the afternoon. Just do what she asks and send her away. I love them people, don't you? Just get rid of her. She's bugging us. 24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay. He's starting to set down his protocol and what he's doing. and what he's here for. I'm going to turn to Luke 24. Luke 24. Okay, Luke chapter 24. Verse 47. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And it says this, in that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Beginning in Jerusalem. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it says here, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So he's saying, just like he did, I did not come here except for the lost children of Israel. So we get back to verse or chapter 15 in Matthew. And it says, again, I love technology, don't you? I was not sent except to the lost children of the house of Israel. And then she comes up and says this. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. In Mark's rendition, it says, she came and fell down at his feet. She's getting closer to him. She's getting closer to him. But she came and she worshiped. The first thing we want to remember is up in verse 22. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Now she comes and she says, Lord, help me. Help me. There's a strategy to all this. But she worshiped him. She is a Gentile. She's not a Jew. She, like I said, she's really round, knowledgeable about the Jewish culture and Jesus and whatever thing is going on. But she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. And then in verse 26, it says, but he answered and said, it is not good to take the bread, the children's bread, and throw it to the little dogs. Whoa. Now he's ignored her. And then on top of that, he just kind of said, I'm not here for you. And now he's calling her a little dog. Is this our Jesus? Yeah. We can't see the expression on his face. We can't see his posture or his mannerism. But we're going to keep on going. This little dog, there's two words in Hebrew about dogs. One is a ravenous, malicious killer that kills lambs, goats, kid goats and stuff. And they run in packs. And this description is what most of the Jews would call a Gentile. You're just a dog. You're just a ravenous, vicious dog that needs to be put down. But the other word is like for the family pet or little puppies. So it says here, throw it to the little puppies. She caught this. She caught this because now she goes in and she said, yes, Lord. Remember, yes, Lord. Now she's submitting and she's agreeing with him on what she is. Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs, the little puppies, eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She agreed with him. Yes, I am one of those little dogs. I am a Gentile. I don't get the covenant promises and the blessings that are due to the Israelites. But I am one of those little puppies. And all I want is little crumbs. I just want a little crumb. In Mark's rendition, it says, let the little children be fed first, and then feed the little dogs, the little puppies. In those days, when you sat down and eat, they had paddles and big spoons and stuff to stir the meal, but they rarely had any utensils, so they ate with their fingers, or they broke off a piece of bread and dipped it in the sauce and ate that bread too. When we were over in Israel, we sat down to a traditional meal. It was a little bowl about so deep, but it had this big piece of celery in it that looked like a shovel at one end, and that's what you used. There's no utensils. So when you got through with the meal, you'd grab another piece of bread and you'd wipe your mouth, you'd wipe your fingers and everything, and it had the juices and stuff on that bread, and they'd throw it to the little dogs. All I want is some crumbs. Okay, now here it comes. Then Jesus answered her and said, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. A lot of people take this and they say, now see, if you have enough faith, you'll get healed. That's not what it's talking about here. Jesus came and the woman came to him and she said, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Yes, Lord. She submitted to him just like salvation. We have to acknowledge that we are sinners before we can come into salvation. We have to know that we need a Savior. And she said that right here. Yes, Lord, but even the little puppies. Okay, this great is your faith. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5. Okay. Verse 5, it says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And I say to this one, come, and he comes. And I have my servant. I said, do this. And he does that. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Can you get a picture of Jesus kind of going, wow, wow. Then Jesus comes up, Jesus heard it. He marveled and he said to those who followed. He turned around probably and said, surely I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. That's sad. Israel is his chosen people. It's God's chosen people. They were created in God's image, and the Messiah is standing right in front of them, and they reject him. But you know what? This woman, a Gentile, this centurion, a Gentile, the Roman army, he comes out, turns around and tells them, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. That's pretty sad. But this is also an opening to what's going to happen in Ephesians chapter 2, starting somewhere in verse 11. It says that because of his blood, the wall of separation, the middle wall, was torn down. In Jerusalem at the temple, there was a wall that separated the Gentile believers and the Jewish believers. And the blood of Jesus Christ from the cross tore that middle wall down, that separation. And it says that he will make out of two, one. That's good news for us, because if you're not Jewish in here, we're all Gentiles. So the wall was broken down. This lady was a Gentile. The centurion was a Gentile. But he said, great is your faith. Wow. Now in Matthew, it ends right there, but in Mark's rendition, it says that, you know, great is your faith, let it be done as you desire. And then the next verse down, it says, and when she got home, she found her daughter on the bed, and the demon was gone. This also tells us that Jesus can heal. Yes, he can. But this is not what this passage is all about. This is a passage about your relationship with Jesus Christ and showing your faith in him. He might test us. He might prove us out if our faith is genuine, or if we're just coming in and sitting in a pew and leaving. It's all about our faith in him, Jesus. Nothing else. Nothing else. We're fixing to go into communion. I told you it was short. If there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, if you don't have that relationship, I'll be in the back. Sammy's out front. We've got my wife will be out there. We've got Brandy up in the sound booth. We're ready and willing to talk and pray with anybody. The relationship. This woman proved her faith. Had to be drawn out a little bit, but she proved her faith. You know, I can't help but think about now we can see his face. Got a little smile on his face. Go your way. Your daughter's healed. Praise God. I get a little emotional. But we're going to have communion now. Hold on to both of them. We're going to, like I said, we're going to be having communion. We'll get the worship team back up here. And